Praise the Lord. Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews? Hebrews. And chapter 5. It will be on the screen if you want to follow it from there. We're going to start reading at verse 8 of chapter 5. We'll read to the end of chapter 5, and then chapter 6, verses 1 to 12, down to verse 12 of chapter 6. So, first of all, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, and I've entitled this morning's sermon, Growing Up, Growing Up. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Yes, thank you. And then down to verse 12 of chapter 6. Martin, would you like to read the scripture, please? Thank you.
Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Thank you. That is the word of God. That is the word of the Lord, and we praise God for it. And Father, we pray that, Lord, as we hear your word, as it may be expounded, we will hear, enlighten our hearts and minds, we pray. Lord, I'm not going to listen to the person sitting next to me or in front of me. I want to just listen for what you're saying to me. I don't want to be sluggish in hearing or obeying, Lord. Please help me. Holy Spirit, help me to put your word into practice. Help me, dear Lord, to be a doer of your word and not a hearer only. Amen. So, growing up, and just to recap very, very briefly, this letter was written to a group of Hebrew Christians, what we would call today Messianic believers. They had embraced the Messiah, and at great cost, many of them, they had come out of religion or some orthodoxy or some secular mindset, and they had recognized the one who had come, the one who had come to earth, the one who hung on the cross was indeed the promised Messiah. He was the Christ. He was the Anointed One. They knew that all of their religion, all of their good works, all of their self-effort would in the end prove useless and pointless. It would have been seen by the Lord as just dead works. But now they had embraced the one who emptied himself of his glory, who was righteous, came and took upon our unrighteousness, our imperfection, our sin. He took it upon himself. He became sin, as it were. He never became a sinner, but he took our sin upon himself. These people recognize that it is through grace they were saved. Hallelujah. All of God's mercy. They knew, even though the majority of the Jews and the kingdoms of this world rejected Jesus, they said, no, he was not the promised one. This group of people said, yes, he's the Messiah. He is the sent one from the Lord. We love him. We're trusting him. We believe that he deserves our full life now, our full discipleship. He is willing to follow because he's given us eternal life. These were precious people, but they were under attack. You see, it would have been very easy for them to go back into Judaism. That was legal. But to stay a Christian was illegal. Was illegal. So they were being tempted. They were hard-pressed. Some were, seemed to be going back. And so this writer, he writes a most beautiful pastoral letter. Even though he was some miles away from them, in spirit, he was very near. He addressed them as his brothers and sisters. He so wanted to encourage them. He so wanted them to focus on Jesus. He so wanted them to embrace all that the new covenant offered, because it was so much better than the former. Why go back to the shadows when they've now got the substance? So he was entreating them. But here, in the chapter that we've had read for us this morning, we do see some strong rebukes, don't we? Some real strong exhortations. Anybody who loves you, if they see that you're deviating, if they see that you're going off the narrow path, if they see that you're becoming carnal, worldly minded, if they see that you're not in faith but in disobedience, that love you enough, and I'd hope that you would receive that love as I would, to embrace it. Hey, brother, sister, come back. You're on the wrong road. Jesus can't walk with you there. Come back. We speak the truth in love one to another. We don't speak it to condemn. We speak it because we want the best. And if you have that heart that you don't want to go off that narrow way, and when you do, that there will be a brother, there will be a sister, there will be a church full of grace to embrace you. That's having the heart and the mind of Jesus. This is the writer to the Hebrews. He says, hey, I'm fearing for some of you. I'm really fearing some of you. You're not growing up. You're not learning the lessons. You've been in the way for some months, some years. But you're still slow of hearing. You're dull. You should now be on the stronger stuff, but you're still wanting to be spoon-fed, breastfed. You're not ready for the solid food. Instead of being a pupil, just, you should be an instructor. He said, I want to talk more about Christ being that great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. There's much I want to tell you. But you're consumed with the here and now. You keep looking back to Egypt. You keep looking back to the world. But I want you to feed on the living word. Thereby you will grow. Thereby you will know the perfect will of the Lord. You will be able to serve others. What is growing up? Spiritual growth, friends, is one of the most important things in the life of a Christian. Because if we're not growing, we begin to stagnate. And if we're not careful, and this is the writer to the Hebrews' very great and grave concern, if we're not growing, we might die. If we're not growing, we might die. And the writer to the Hebrews, as I say, interrupts his explanation of this amazing priesthood of Christ in order to admonish his readers and the hearers today to be better students of the Word of God. In chapter 5, verse 12, the second part of verse 12 says, "The first, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now the writer to the Hebrews would know, as any good teacher does, that people learn at different rates. Some you have to keep repeating it over and over again. Others can grasp the fundamentals straight away. The writer would know this. He would know that in any mixed congregation there would be some people who take time to understand certain things. He's not condemning these people at all. He's being very patient with them. Some of us can grasp things quickly. Others, it takes time. He understands all this. Our Lord understands. But he's saying, there are some of you receiving this letter. There are some of you hearing this word who should be much more advanced in your faith. You're still going over. You're still going over the old ground. You're not maturing. He's not talking about whether you're 20 years of old age or 100 years of age. He's talking about growth in the walk, growth in faith. You can be a mature 20-year-old. There's still much to learn. Of course there is. You're still going to make mistakes. There's still much you're going to experience of the grace and of the goodness of the Lord and the sinfulness of your own heart. You can be a mature 20-year-old and an immature 100-year-old. And this is the writer's concern. And here we've just got a very, very stern rebuke. In fact, it's quite similar to the Apostle Paul's rebuke to the church in Corinth, which we read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verses 1 to 4. The Apostle Paul has this admonition to the church. Remember, it's to the church. He's not writing to the streets outside. He's writing to those who name the name of Jesus. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? The Apostle Paul was afraid for them because they hadn't matured. They were still being petty. They were still being worldly in their thinking. They didn't understand what righteousness means. Now, milk is given to the very young. When they are older, no longer babies, they progress to some solid food. If there is anything a growing child dislikes, is when he's called a baby. Don't be a baby. That hurts. That's degrading. That's demeaning. A growing child, when his mom or dad or somebody says, oh, don't be a baby, that hurts them. That's degrading. They don't like that. Because little children, when they look around and see older children and that, they think, wow, that's cool. I want to be like them. I want to become independent. I want to hang around these people. I don't want to stay a little toddler. I want to grow. Always wanting to grow. The child wants to become independent. The child has a natural desire to grow. When you get older, you wish you'd stop maturing and you wish you could get a bit younger sometimes. But the child was always looking to be that year older, that 2 years older, and the time seems ages coming. But it's an innate thing. They want to grow. Growth is so, so important. It really is important. And, of course, growth can be physical. You know, if somebody is physically not growing, if their physical growth is stunted or somewhat, as in the case of, for example, Stephen Hawking, the physicist, the growth is stunted. It can be mental. It can come from some trauma or distress. And the mind is not growing. There's not growth there. Or it could be social. There's not development of the attributes. There's not development of the character. Sometimes because of the deprivation people are surrounded with or children are surrounded for. Maybe domestic or economic deprivation. That can stunt the development of a person. But you see, our text warns us. It warns you. It warns me. That there's an even greater tragedy to a stunted physical growth or a mental deficiency or a social inadequacy. That is stunted spiritual growth. That's far, far more serious. In other words, perpetual infancy in the things of grace, in the things of God, never rising and attaining the big person spirituality, but remaining a babe. So the author of this letter is going to shock his readers. He calls them infants. That's going to shock them. To him, it is incredible that adults in the faith are still being nurtured on spiritual milk and not solid food. So he uses the word infant to shame them. They spiritually are still wearing nappies. They're still being bottle fed. Small children are unable to tell the difference between right and wrong. On a daily basis, they need to be taught. They need to be shown, and by example, how to make correct decisions, right decisions. For the toddler, for the small child, a lot of the decisions are made for them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." The writer here to Hebrews is saying, I want you to grow up. I want you to mature in the faith. There's a similar exhortation in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, the passage which says about Christ in his grace has given us apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists so that we all can do the work of ministry, that we can all be ministers. And he goes on to say, I don't want you to be endless debating things. I want you to grow up. You should all be maturing. You should be feeding on the Word of God. And in our passage in Hebrews, the writer is telling them that they're spiritually apathetic, that they are sluggish. Indeed, in verse 12, we've just read of chapter 6, for one, and you do not become, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. One of the things is that these people didn't want to think about doctrine. They didn't want to think about good doctrine. For them, as is with many people today, doctrine is a dirty word. They listened with the attentiveness of a slug. So many today don't want to know about the deep things of our faith. Many today could have a careless, couldn't care less attitude to the Word of God, to the study of the Bible. And Jesus is speaking to us as a congregation. He's speaking to us as individuals today. Are you sluggish when it comes to the Word of God? Now, because he is our friend, because he knows how difficult it can be to do this, to spend time, to get that quiet time alone with the Lord, and so many other things, many legitimate can take our attention. Even now, our Lord is saying to Father, look, I know how difficult and challenging it is to be obedient, to do the right things. Let's pour mercy upon them. Let's pour grace upon them, that they will have a delight to read your word, to have a delight in seeking to put it into practice, to study your word. This is for all believers. If we're to grow, we need to study the Word of God. And we need to say, dear Lord, how does this apply to me? What difference is this going to make? This is one of the beauties of our Thursday morning Bible studies. We read the things which we shouldn't do, we shouldn't be like. And then we read the things that, you know, the things which we need to put off. Then we read the things which we should put on. The how, and this is blessing us. This is helping us so that we can grow up, that we can mature. This is a living word. We've read about that already in Hebrews. It can be a sharp word. It's like the Roman sword. It's double-edged at times. It pierces. It divides. But it's necessary if we're going to grow up. So friends, if you're struggling with your daily readings, if you're struggling, just be honest with the Lord. Talk to me about it, but don't neglect it. I know for mums especially, it's very difficult at times. It's challenging at times just to get 10 minutes to yourself. The Lord knows that better than any other human. But it's so important if we're going to grow spiritually so that we're not ourselves being spoon-fed and so that we can then feed others, that we need Time in the Word. Time in the Word. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. We need to know some of these things. So as we read the Word, as we hear it preach, we need to be able to identify what is being said, what is written. Holy Spirit, lead me into your truth. Open my understanding. The difficult passages, Lord, those things which I tend to very quickly gloss over. If you're speaking, want to speak to me, if you want me to learn a lesson, if you want to encourage me, help me, O God, to read your word and let it come alive to me. Show me Jesus in your word. Show me how to be more than a conqueror. Help me to live in faith, not in defeat. In verse 12 of our passage, chapter 5, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. It seems that for some of these people, their faith was insecure. Perhaps they were compromising. And they therefore weren't able to communicate effectively with any assurance to other people. Sometimes we're quiet. Sometimes when we should speak up, sometimes when we should share about Jesus, we don't, because we ourselves perhaps are feeling insecure. Perhaps we feel that we haven't studied the word. We aren't putting it into practice. So we feel a little bit guilty under condemnation. And so we don't share. We don't use the opportunities. We don't redeem the times when we should. And of course the devil will bring us in condemnation. Ha ha, you didn't read the word this morning. Well, you better keep quiet, hadn't you? Now we should say, okay, I'm going to determine with God's help to get into the word, for him to speak to me. But this person whom the Lord is nudging me to speak to, this person he's nudging me to write a letter to, this person, I might be the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God to that person today. So devil, get out of my life. There's condemnation with you, but there's none with Jesus. He might bring conviction into my life, but he's not bringing condemnation. Hallelujah. Get behind me, Satan. It's written in your word. You need to know the word to be able to quote it to Satan. The Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance. When you're persecuted, when you're mocked at work and so on, if you know the word, are you to the ABCs of the word? This is what the writer is saying. It's the ABCs of the word. The fundamentals, the foundational things. If you know them and are able to communicate, when you need it, God in his mercy, the Holy Spirit, is going to remind you of your word. If it's not there in the first place, you can't do that. You know, these people who are in other lands, who are being persecuted for their faith, who are in prison for their faith, who are being ostracized and all sorts of demeaning things done to them, to their belongings, to the churches and so on. They're so thankful that they've treasured the word of God, that scripture is honey to them. Wow. They're so thankful for that because God has got something to work on. He quickens the word. He strengthens them in the day of battle. Hallelujah. You need strengthening. I need strengthening. I need the word of God. I need to know the promises of the Lord. So when I'm under the cosh, I can quote them. I can say, Lord, I have no idea. I hate this season. But I'm going to trust you. Bring me through, Lord, triumphantly. Be with me when I'm crying. Be with me when I'm happy. I want just to know your arms around me. Thank you. You are a good shepherd. You are a good shepherd. The Apostle Paul, in another place in Corinthians, says, and he's writing to believers, he says, you have the mind of Christ. He says, we have the mind of Christ. He says, you have the mind of Christ. So through the Holy Spirit, our minds can be constantly renewed. We renew them, even as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, we renew them in the Holy Spirit. We renew them because we know the Word of God. We're feeding on the Word of God. We have the mind of Christ. What does that mean practically? We can think God's thoughts. We can share what we learn. So friends, we need to study. We need to know the Scriptures. We need to experience these truths so that we can also help others. A baby will not help others. He may bring joy, but he cannot help others. Are you a growing, learning Christian? Are you further in your walk of faith today than you were 12 months ago? We need to examine ourselves. If you're not, if there's any here who's not, I urge you, don't beat yourself up. Because God is giving us an opportunity again. As we go back into our new building, as many new things may start happening for us, even in that locality, spiritually and otherwise, so he wants us to be on form. He wants us to know him, to know his word. Because there will be battles as well. He's giving us an opportunity. I know that there are many here this morning. Perhaps you don't know it yourself, but I know you're not where you were 12 months ago. You've been through a few storms, a few battles, and you've been strengthened in the inner man. You've been a blessing to me. You've been a blessing to others. You have grown. You're not where you want to be. There's more of Jesus to find out. He wants more of you. He wants more of me. He wants us to be in his presence and feed on him, the living word. Are you growing? You see, spiritual babes are in danger of being overwhelmed by the storms. Many people do drift into a low standard of Christian life simply because they minimize the importance of Christian instruction. They minimize disciplined Bible study. Let me tell you, when somebody says, well, I'm not getting much out of the word, I'll tell you what I think, friends. That's more a commentary on them than it is on the word. Psalm 19 verse 10 says that the scriptures are sweeter than honey. Are we growing up? This is what the Lord wants. He doesn't want us to stay infants. He's urging us to grow up. That we make good decisions, decisions that are pleasing for him, so that we can be fruitful. He's so merciful, so gracious. Are we growing up, or are we like a 50-year-old still wearing nappies and sucking our thumb? You should be so shocked with the image of a 50-year-old wearing nappies, sucking his thumb and sticking his tongue out. That should shock you. That you wouldn't want to be that like that spiritually. Are we growing up? Can you, friend, can you, brother, can you, sister, Are you able to exercise spiritual discernment? Or if a fad comes along, a spiritual fad comes along, or something that you see on so-called Christian TV and you're not sure, you're unable to discern, is this of the Lord or is this not? One reason why the writer is urging us through the Holy Spirit to grow up is that we won't be taken in by the nonsense, by the fads, by bad doctrine. He wants us to grow up and feed on the real stuff, that which does us good and not what does us harm. Are we growing up? Are we able to discern a little? Friends, we don't know it all. You can help me to know where to help me, what I'm not sure of. I can help you, I hope. This is family. We need each other. Are you growing up to understand something about the signs of the times we're living in? Or are you more interested in just talking about the weather? Jesus had something to say about that. You're always talking about the weather. Ah, red sky in the morning. We're going to have a... It's shepherd's warning. Bad day. Storms are coming. Red sky at night. Wow, we're going to have a scorcher tomorrow. And you can talk about that until the cows come home, but you have no idea the days we're living in. So you think, oh, well, we'll get this government in. Oh, politicians can fix this broken crisis world. We'll get the politicians, the ones we like. That if we get them in, things will change. Not understanding the scriptures. Or, okay, well, if the church gets off their backside and do all these faith works and so on, we'll transform society. Won't need the police. Won't need, God, we're being charged. And then Jesus can come back. You're ignorant of God's word. You're still a babe. But the Lord's saying, I want you not to be any longer a babe, but to grow up. You can discern the signs. You can be a people of hope. You can speak hope to people. You can say, this is the day we're living. For such a day as this, I've been called, I've been chosen. What a privilege. Need to grow up. I need to grow up to understand the times so that we have a word in season to those who are hopeless, to those who have no hope. We have a word in season to those who are in deception that they may embrace the biblical Christ and the word of God. As we conclude, the toddler cannot distinguish right from wrong. But as he learns, we hope that he or she learns values and boundaries. If you and I have become spiritual adults and that we are feeding on the word of God, we will still stumble, of course we will. That's again why we need each other and we need the mercy of the Lord. It means that we can make sound, good judgments between what is right, what is evil. We are not sluggish, but we're alive. We're eager to hear the voice of God. Friends, the more we become familiar with God's word, we can know God's mind on important doctrinal, ethical, and spiritual issues. It's a very practical word, this. The Bible is a very practical book. Friend, the Bible isn't to satisfy your curiosity. It hasn't been written to satisfy your curiosity or mine, but it's written to help us to conform to Christ's image. Hallelujah. And it gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can be conform more and more. The Bible is not written to fill our heads with biblical facts. It's written to transform our lives to the glory of God. Every time we read it, every time we come to the house of God, every time we sit round in a Bible study, wow, I believe that when I go out of this place, I'm going to be different. I'm going to have learned something that's going to apply to my life. I can put it into daily practice. I'm going to be thinking God thoughts instead of negative thoughts. I'm going to be a believer and not in fear. The 5-year-old child wants everyone to know he's not a baby. The 5-year-old child wants you to know, I'm not a baby. Wanting to grow is a part of life. Shall we take God's word even more seriously than we have, please? Allow his word to help us in the decisions that we make. We still need others at times to help us. We need teachers. We need friends. But God has spoken. As I said, if we're not growing, we're dying. Listen, backsliding is recoverable. But willful sinning, continual walking in the flesh, could prove fatal. That's what we read in chapter 6. It could prove fatal. That's not what God wants. Are you obedient in faith? Are you serving others? Am I growing up spiritually? If we are, 1, you will have the ability and the discipline to feed yourselves spiritually. 2, you will know that you were not born to be served, but to serve others. It's not just about you, it's about others. Jesus. 3, you understand that your feelings are fickle. So you walk by faith and stand on God's word. 4, you know that true satisfaction comes only from discerning and discovering and doing God's will. And family, we need to help each other. Amen.